Alrighty there, everybody. Welcome to Joel Radio. Joel Fragamenti with you today. Got a big show. It's going to be fun. Guest co-host for you today. Young lady that I've known for a while. Actually, a big part of the show, even though she's never been on. Right? If you've never been on.
Never.
Not once.
Not a once.
Heather Kozlikowski's here. Hi, Heather.
Hi.
Welcome to Joel Radio.
This is so surreal.
Is it surreal? What's surreal about it? Tell everybody why it's surreal.
No, that's too personal.
Yeah, well,
like,
I think,
all right.
We're gonna
Why
get into some
surreal?
Personal things.
Well, we'll be... because I started dating Joel Fragamenti 6 years ago.
You did.
We have been broken up for 3 years.
Right.
But when I first got into a relationship with you, I did what I think every woman would do. I Googled you extensively.
Yeah.
And found...
That was a mistake.
Found many things that I think do not represent you as a person.
Okay, no.
But made me question you a lot. And
there was a lot of questions about this show.
Whether or not you were a good guy. Like,
yeah.
The internet, I think, misled me a little bit with some of the photos that are out
no,
there.
No, sure, yeah.
Yeah, you're doing some things. You do some things that are kind of, you know, not you. And I think I listened to a few of your Joel radios.
Yeah.
And I came to the conclusion at one point, because I think you were sick of me calling you and asking you to justify things. Like, who was this and what was happening?
Yeah, it was a lot of, who was this girl that was on your podcast? Blah, blah, blah. And I'd be like, that was my ex-girlfriend and she was on a few times. What about that girl? Well, that girl was an ex-girlfriend. Oh, that was a girl that I
what?
Was just a friend. And well, I had a couple different girlfriends on the show before I met you.
I don't think you told me that.
I'm telling you now.
This is the, well, there's nothing I can do about it now.
Now you're finding out.
Except
about
for I
no,
thought
at the time that there was a couple that, but like, you know, I mean,
I
they
don't think I listened to those ones.
They weren't long relationships or anything. They were just, you know, some of them. One of them was, and a couple of them were short. But they, you know, they'd come on the show.
This is taking a turn.
We're 2 minutes in. What is the turn?
Okay, so the all right, whatever. So I guess
this is surreal.
I'll ask you questions about that. I don't remember stumbling across an ex-girlfriend.
Well, I
really only have one. There's the one girl that you were dating right before we met.
Yeah, and she was never on the show.
She was never on the show.
She was never on the show.
And then you were with me for 3 years.
Yeah, but I started the show 4 years before I met you.
Oh, was the Italian comedian on the show?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
she was on the show, and then there was another girl who was on the show.
Hmm.
Brianne was on the show.
Who's Brianne?
I don't know how we... Maybe we'd even call
this
her that
This is a name
show.
You have never, ever said to me.
She was the girl... God, I think we talked about it on the show. She was a girl that did mortgages, but she was an ex-stripper.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember her being on the show, but
she was on the show, I think,
remember
once.
You once saying, Heather, you've never danced for me. I'm like, yeah, and I won't.
No, she was a girl who... I think it was me and her and Corey and his girlfriend at the time, who's now his wife, Amy. We were all on together at one point.
Sounds great.
We had a double date. Yeah, you can go look through the archives for that one.
I'm not going to.
No, don't. No, I'm talking to the people at home.
Oh.
But yeah, you're not. Although you're gonna need some audio for your trip. We'll talk about that. But anyway, no. But yeah.
Anyway.
So anyway, but you're here. But for the whole time, it was funny because the whole time we were dating, you didn't really want to be on this show. You were like, oh, I don't want to be on that show. And maybe it's because you didn't want to hang out with Corey or something. But we also did. Psychopathic Radio, we did which is, of all the shows to be on, you were on the Insane Clown Posse show with me as Miss Terry for years and years. Upchuck and Miss Terry.
Our entire relationship, I was Mystery Miss Terry. Yeah, 3 years.
Yeah. And
I don't think, I did not do this show because of Corey. I just, I shut the door on this show.
Right, yeah, sure.
Because I had to stop asking questions. I had to stop asking questions of your past and just live in the moment with you.
Yeah.
I had to let it go.
Right, yeah. But I mean, and I would talk about us on the show, well, I mean, quite a bit. I still do.
Well, I never heard it. So.
Yeah, I do. But not in
any
detail.
Hopefully it was
But I'll say, like, I went, you know, me and Heather went to a movie, or I went with you to... wherever we went, you know what I mean, or whatever we did. Because we still hang out. That's the thing about us that a lot of people don't know.
Is that you're my best friend?
Yeah, you're my best friend.
Aww.
It's very sad. It's going to get very sad.
Let's not do that.
Yeah, I know.
Now, we got into a fight already 2 minutes in. And what are we, 5 minutes in? And now, I'm going to cry?
Save the crying.
Let's do some radio.
Save the crying for the end. Let's keep the people in as far as we can get them. Take them all the way. Take them on a journey today.
Okay. Well, I'm happy to be here. Thank
you
for asking me to be on the show.
I'm glad you're here because Corey's not here, and I've got you and Heather. I guess I've already sort of mentioned it, but I think one of the reasons you're here, and one of the reasons I asked you, one of the reasons you're not here is that I never ask you, for one, because I know how you feel about it. But I know that with what's going on with you in your life, that you might not have many opportunities to be on the show in the future, at least in the studio. So I really wanted to get you on. So.
Thank you.
Explain to everybody what you're doing.
I'm moving to California.
Yes.
North Hollywood. Hopefully. I'm still waiting on the apartment to be confirmed, but I don't know why it wouldn't. So.
Yeah, you could be living in Compton just as easily if that doesn't come in. But you are pursuing show business in California. Yes or no?
I would say that, my objective in California, first of all, my cousin and my best friend. I know I just said that you were my best
friend. Yeah, I know.
Which is true. But my cousin and my best girlfriend is in California. And the way that they keep phrasing it is, you're coming to family. You're coming to live with family. And I definitely feel that. I'm so excited to be with them. And the life that I created in Michigan, I worked full-time creatively at a big girl job. And I worked... part-time creatively, and I pursued comedy and acting and have a good life. And because of my circumstances with work and the way that my life just spun around in a positive way, right now is the time to go to LA. And I always said that I was going to go I had a really awesome job, an awesome full-time job that I absolutely loved. And I was pursuing work in L.A. since the fall, but I wasn't getting picked up. And I've always said if anything happened to my job, I would go. If anything happened to my job, I would go. So I got laid off from my full-time job, and I had been there for 11 years. So you get all these sweet benefits. I got all these sweet benefits. I don't know if it happens to everybody. But I got all these sweet benefits that I can go, you know? And my part-time job is looking to transfer me, which is awesome. Right. When I go online, every time I do, there are all of these great jobs in LA that suit me.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I feel like I'm very employable. If I were a horse, I'd bet on me.
Let's tell everybody what you do, and then maybe somebody will even hear this on the show and say, I'm in LA. I could use somebody. Heather Kozlikowski is an actress.
Yes, I have an acting background. Well, I would say first and foremost, I'm a broadcaster.
Okay, broadcaster.
20 years of broadcasting experience. I'm a professional. Mm-hmm. I taught broadcasting for 11 years. I also have, many years of acting now. I started acting.
But broadcasting, let's just go through that.
Okay, broadcasting, number one.
But you did, let's just tell everybody, you did classic rock radio.
Can we just like send people to my resume?
Well, no, but I mean, we'll do all that. But let's just tell them while they're listening now.
So
you did classic rock radio for a long time.
I graduated from high school. I went to a trade school. Yeah. And then I started working in broadcasting in Saginaw. I was a classic rock DJ for a number of years.
Right.
And I did production.
Yeah.
Then I left Saginaw to move back to the Metro Detroit area. And I started taking acting classes. And then I worked full-time teaching broadcasting. So then acting, improv, stand-up comedy.
Right.
For the past 3 years, I've been working as a traffic reporter for WJR out of Detroit, WABC out of New York, and WLS out of Chicago. So I do traffic.
Big stations.
Yeah, those are some pretty good call letters.
Yeah,
especially for the old-timers. They're going to learn. If you're an old dude, you think I'm super cool.
I think it's cool.
You're an old dude.
Well, excuse me.
And with comedy, I picked up comedy writing and writing my own. I did a couple of spoken word pieces that I'm really, really proud of. So writing is now added. I have a bachelor's. I went to college.
Right. Well, I met you. You were just getting started in stand-up. That's how we met.
Yeah, I was three months in.
You had been acting. You had done the radio thing, and you were teaching, and you were very proud of your acting resume, which at the time then, and it's gotten better since then because you did commercials and movies. And we'll talk about those. But you were in these, like, one of the first things you made me do was watch this horror movie that you were in, Trap.
T-R-A-P.
T-R-A-P.
And I watched your college film,
exactly. I'll
The
get
Bathtub.
To that. We'll talk about The Bathtub. But speaking of bathtubs, you get chopped up in the bathtub.
I do.
It was very disturbing for me to watch that.
Yeah, people that care about me.
I was in love with you, and I'm watching this your body parts.
Yeah, and when I die, it's a
yeah,
good scene,
it's
right?
It's terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good acting, but it's a terrible scene.
It's sweet that people who care about me
can't
watch
it. Yeah, it was hard to
it.
Watch that.
You know that people who care about me also can't watch my stand-up?
Yeah, well, I understand that.
Yeah, because it's all, like, from real
it's
things
personal.
That they know. Yeah, you know,
it's
yeah.
a little more personal than my stand-up.
Yeah, my stand-up is very personal. Yeah. And anyone who knows me and knows the details, you know,
yeah.
like my therapist has a really hard time.
But you, and then you started getting more into professional stand-up, and then you got the Traffic gig. And you got a movie, you got a real big movie called Conviction with Hilary Swank.
I worked
and
2 days
Sam Rockwell,
on that, yeah.
But you have a speaking role, and mm-hmm. people can see you, and it's been on HBO, and it's been because I'm always plugging, you know, the 5-year engagement on the show, and Into the Storm, and this other garbage I'm in, and you actually spoke in your movie. So
I get residual. Checks.
You get residual checks from 20 Century Fox.
I get $4 every yeah. once in a while.
Yeah, a guy was asking me the other day about that, about your acting, and you know, and I was talking about your residuals, and you don't have to correct me for the purpose of the show, but I was like, yeah, I think she got like $1,000, and then it was like $300 or $500, and I think now it's like $2.
Yeah, yeah, my last check was
a quarterly $2 check.
Yeah,
from 20th Century Fox. Well, that's good. That's
true.
A great.
That's accurate.
It's a great thing when you can do more. But even if let's say you go out to L.A. and you get 3 or 4 of those a year. That's not bad.
My good friend who works creatively here in Detroit right now, but she lives in L.A., she talked to me recently and she said, what's your passion? And my passion is performance. She's like, go out there and perform.
Right.
And what I'm going to do and what I've always done is the next right thing. I mm-hmm. show up and I do the next right thing. And then my life spills out, you know, in that direction, just showing up and doing the next right thing. I am terrified to think of, oh, I'm going to go to L.A. and I'm going to pursue performance. I'm going to go there and I'm going to look for a job.
Yeah, right.
And I'm going to pursue comedy and pursue acting and pursue writing. And whatever comes my way, I'm going to pick up and I'm going to do.
Right. Yeah, well, I agree with that. I think that's the way to do it. I don't think you should go out there and think like, I'm going to be a comedy star because you're just going to be standing in front of the comedy store every night and getting on. And even if you did get a spot, it'd be $50 or something. So, you know, you can't depend on that to pay the bills. You're going out with a realistic expectation. But the opportunities are going to be 10-fold, 20, 50-fold of what they are here in your field. And that's a good thing.
And it's not like I'm 19 and just graduated from high school and I'm going. I have skills that I've developed.
Yeah.
Over the past
right.
20 years.
And you can use those.
Right. So I feel prepared.
Or you can be a mom on a sitcom and make lots of money.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, or you can be a mom. I was like, yeah.
You can be a mom. That could happen, too.
Mm-hmm, yep.
You'll meet some rich asshole out there and marry him and have a great time. you could do that. You can go live in Bel Air somewhere. Some movie
I'm just
producer.
Gonna show up and do the next
you
right
do what
thing.
You gotta do.
I want you know I express some fear to my friend Matt Richards, who's also a comic, who's driving out there right now, and I'm like, you know, afraid. And he was so sweet. He said, "Just show up and be Heather Kozlikowski, and you're gonna be fine."
Well, that's what Woody Allen says. You know, 90% of success is just showing up.
Mm.
So go and show up.
Yeah,
and you're you know,
and I'm just gonna be me. You know,
yeah.
I have so much support, though. Joel, think about all the comics that we know that are
absolutely,
out there.
Absolutely,
yeah. Then there's all my acting friends that moved out there 10 years ago
mm-hmm.
when I didn't move out there, you know, because I had a good job that I liked
yeah.
and I was in a relationship at the time and stuff. And I was like, no, my life is here. And I got good stuff here, but they're doing amazing things out there. And then there's all of my radio friends and people are just so... generous.
Yeah.
I can't wait to introduce you to so-and-so and here's so-and-so number and my friend is here and you can come sleep on my couch if you need to. And
right.
know, everybody is just being so supportive.
Good.
And I have my family and I'm not worried I'm not.
Good. I
she says quietly
worried.
As she takes a sip
well,
of her coconut
I know
water.
You're worried about your trip and that, and I was going to try to go out there with you, but I don't think that's going to work out. So, but your mom's going with you, so that'll be a nice trip for you guys.
It will be.
And your cat, which sounds like a disaster, but...
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to live with your cat in an apartment, let
don't
alone
say
in
that.
A
my
car room, for 4 days.
My
but
new
he,
roommate might
oh,
be
oh, well, listening. You know, he's... He'll... I mean... He's better in the house. I'm just saying, you know, taking a cat on a road trip is... Ugh.
I got him happy pills, so we'll see. I'm going to start drugging him next week. And then I'll let you know how
see
it
how
goes.
The drugs set
and
in.
And then mom will be there, too.
Right.
He should be... these pills will make him, you know, chill.
Yeah.
Things
you can always...
He'll be relaxed.
Do you want to see... I have... it's on my agenda. I was assuming Corey was coming, but, you know. Do you want to watch dogs who ate marijuana brownies?
No.
No? I could show you those. Those are funny.
They're not funny.
You haven't seen all of them. I showed you one on my phone.
I will watch whatever you want me to. Well, not whatever you want me to, but I'm not down with animal abuse, man.
You're not going to grind up a Benadryl for the ride for the kitty?
No, it's not Benadryl. It's prescription meds from a veterinarian.
Yeah, but if those don't work, a Benadryl will work.
I'm not going to grind up a Benadryl.
I think my aunt...
I will leave him at the rest stop.
I think my... be free! All of Kansas is yours, yeah. Jack.
You
go,
have, you
run.
Have all of your claws. You'll be
yeah,
fine.
Yeah, you're going to be good out here. There's lots of mice here in Iowa for you to eat. I think my aunt used to do that to my cousins. She used to give
them Benadryl?
Yeah, like without their knowing.
I have a friend that used to give... a friend's mother who would give them NyQuil.
Oh. Like without them knowing, or she would say, come here, and she'd get the
I
spoon
think it was
out.
Like your nighttime drink.
Fruity. Like a scoop of ice cream with NyQuil poured over the top.
Sleepy time.
Yeah, it's licorice flavored, kids. Come on. Come get it.
But I will watch your dog videos if you would like.
No, we don't need to watch the dog
okay,
videos.
I'm sorry, I'm a party pooper.
They're very funny, though.
Are they, though?
They're sad because, you know, well, here's the thing.
Animal. And out of its wits.
Well, the owners are idiots. The owners are laughing ridiculously because they're high.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know. But it's always like, you know, because I read the description or I listened to some of them have it on the front. And they'll go, you know, we left the brownie out and the dog jumped on the counter and ate the whole, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's their story, quote. I'm doing air quotes here. You know, so it's not like, hey, we gave the dog a brownie. Let's see what happens, which
first
probably
of all,
a good chance of that.
You're not supposed
probably
to give
a good
dog
chance
chocolate. You're not supposed to give a dog chocolate. That's a bad thing.
But anybody that's going to give their dog marijuana doesn't give a fuck about the chocolates. They're ready to, they're just in, they're full on, let's get this dog, you know. No, I agree it's wrong. I would not give my dog marijuana. But if a dog somehow got into marijuana and ate it, I might take a video of it. But yeah, I agree.
Did I ever tell you about the time
don't give your cat Benadryl.
No, I'm going to give him his prescribed meds.
Give him his prescribed medicine.
Did I tell you about the time I was at a party? This is years ago, and I was drinking, so you know that it was more than 3 years
ago.
Yeah,
that's not something you do anymore.
That's not something I do anymore, but it was a long time ago. And there was this little puppy, and they were bringing out this puppy, and I was being very much like, put the puppy away, and leave the puppy alone, and I was like, stop, and I was being this person. And then as the puppy's walking around, I'm the one who accidentally steps on it.
Aww.
I felt so bad.
Poor guy.
Everybody was just like, oh, yeah, it's a puppy. It's fun. And I was terrified of everything that they were doing.
Yeah.
And I was so terrified that I ended up being the one to step on it.
That's too bad. But so, yeah, Heather's here and we're going to talk. And then you're leaving in just a couple weeks. So,
yeah, last week in July.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know why I keep saying July when it is July.
It is July.
Last week in July.
Last week in July. It's already July. So you got a lot of stuff. You just had a big kind of a going away comedy show the other night.
It was the last Laugh Riot Dolls show
with
me on it.
Explain what that is.
The Laugh Riot Dolls is an all-female comedy show. And what did Corey call it? Cabaret style comedy show.
Okay.
I got that from Corey. I had to ask him what it meant. And he goes,
look at him.
It means it's a variety. And I'm like, yeah, sweet. Although people think that I mean burlesque and they ask me, how nude are you going to get? We don't get nude at all on purpose.
Maybe that would help.
I think I did show my belly once.
Maybe you girls could each take a couple bucks home extra at the end of the night if somebody whipped them out there.
All female stand-up comedy. It's cabaret style, so it's a little bit different. We have singers called the Little Dollies that open and close the show. And then it's a variety of female comedy performances from girls you know, have been doing it for many years to those that just started. So it's Laugh Riot Dolls, Baby Dolls, which are the new ones, and then Little Dollies, which are the singers. Mm-hmm. So now I'm breaking it off into two different shows. It's going to be the Laugh Riot Dolls Detroit. So it's shows are going to go on per use. Just without me, because I will be doing shows in L.A., the Laugh Riot Dolls L.A. That's the plan.
Okay.
That's what's going to happen.
Well, that's good.
So it was the last show in Metro Detroit with me on it before I leave for L.A. But I'll be back and I'll do holiday shows and stuff. Like, I'll do Laugh Riot Dolls shows.
Okay.
Detroit, Laugh Riot Dolls Detroit again.
Sounds good. Sounds
good. Yeah, I'm very excited about it. And I know female comics already in L.A.
Yeah.
You know, it's
and
my one of my original dollies, Alyssa Nordmo, she lives there.
Mm-hmm.
And she's one of the original singers, helped with the
composing. So she can help you out too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sounds like a plan. You got it all figured out.
It's just getting there, Joel.
It is. That
it's
is the problem.
Everything
and
worked
you've got
out.
To sell things, and you're going through all that with moving and what you're taking.
And
what
I'm liquidating
leaving.
Everything.
Yeah. Do you have anything that anyone should we let anybody let you? Should we tell them what they can buy from you, or
no,
is there anything
that's boring? No, I'm gonna call Purple Heart though and get them to pick up the bed. So I'm not gonna.
Oh, they're
that.
Gonna. They're gonna. Yeah.
You have to do it in advance though. The big king size.
But when the
my
timing
dresser,
of this, are you like not gonna have a bed? Like
I have my air mattress.
No, but so like for maybe the last week of living here, you're not gonna have a bed.
I'll have my air mattress.
Yeah. Oh.
Then I always got this bed right here. If you don't know, we're broadcasting from Joel's bedroom.
It's the Joel Radio Studios, Heather, please. Please, don't insult. Spent a long time building that.
This is a giant, comfortable table
it's
you have
console,
here.
Yes.
Yes, it's a console, yes. Footrest is about queen size.
Yeah,
it's queen
nice.
Size footrest that you have.
But, but that's got to make it tough, too, because now it's like you don't have even those... The creature comforts of home, and then you gotta put everything in a car and travel for 4 days, and then you gotta get somewhere. Then you got nothing when you get where you're going. Tough.
Come on.
I know.
It's gonna be great.
It's gonna ultimately it'll be great,
and the journey's gonna be great as well.
Yeah, sure.
It's gonna be awesome.
Sounds like a good time.
It is going to be fun. I'm gonna be traveling cross country with my mom. That's once in a lifetime thing.
That is.
My dad drove out west with his mom and his sister when he was 19, and still talks about it.
Yeah,
and he's
okay.
You know, in his 60s. So this is an adventure for mom and an adventure for me.
Right.
And you know what? I have a list of things I want to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like two things left on the list. Go to California and one other thing. And I'm going to be able to check off going to California.
Okay.
By August 1st, I get to check that
August
off.
August 1st.
And then there's just one last thing to do.
Yeah.
We'll see how that one works out.
Yeah, exactly.
Just one last thing.
But all right. Well, good. I'm happy for you. And I hope everything works out. And again, I'm trying to help you in whatever ways I can, and you know that we don't need to go through all those on the show.
Shall we list all the ways that you help me?
Well, I'm helping you get your car together and in getting that going for you, and I'm trying to help you do some planning of the stops and the navigation and all that stuff, and yeah, trying to help you with all that.
You are being very helpful.
Yeah, I think so. I'm
you
good
are.
At that.
You
I
are.
Travel a lot.
You do.
I go places. I can maintain a vehicle.
Yes.
Do all those things.
Yes.
So that's where I'm going to help you.
I'm really glad we started talking again. We needed some time apart.
Oh, yeah.
We needed to stop communicating.
Oh, we didn't talk for, I would say...
11 months.
11 months.
I called you a few times.
We talked once or twice.
Mad at some things I found out.
We talked once or twice, but we saw each other about once in person in 11 months after we broke up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was very sad.
Seeing me in person?
No, sad not seeing you all that time.
It was not. You had a girlfriend. A woman you were having sex with. A few, probably. You weren't that sad.
It was not. Well, it was sad to not have you in my life.
Right. So this is what you do.
Yeah.
You break up and you take a break.
And you respect boundaries,
and you leave people
but
alone.
But only if you... Well, yeah, but my point is, like, I'm glad that I have a relationship with you because we get along so well.
Yeah.
And because I like that. Believe me, the girls that I don't want to ever see again. I didn't see you because that's sort of my MO, but I wanted to see you. You know what I mean? Like, it's like there are people that I don't want to see. So you were the exception to that. Because I've never, you know, hung out with an ex-girlfriend like I do with you. You know, that's pretty rare for me. So it's good.
It is good.
It is good.
It is good. We should have.
Don't let anyone tell you it's stupid or you shouldn't do it.
Nobody would tell me that.
Well, people tell me.
Really?
Yes. I've been told that.
Really?
Well, I know.
It's stupid and we shouldn't
hang out?
I don't
know if it's stupid. That's not a quote, but you know what I mean. Yeah.
Well, I will say this. I think it is good that I'm moving across the country because we are both single. And when someone else comes into the picture,
then
it's not going to be so great for either of us.
Right.
But yeah, I think that. This is weird. Come on. Why are we doing this?
Because we're doing a show. Whoa. People are listening.
Yes. Okay. So I think that your friends are probably giving you good advice because no matter what, when one of us gets into a relationship, it's not going to be fun.
No, but it's not even that angle. It's more of Heather's your girlfriend because you hang out with her all the time. And by saying she's not your girlfriend, you're just lying to yourself because she is.
Ah.
Yeah. And I don't think that's the case.
Do you tell them that we don't have sex?
I think that's assumed or whatever it is.
It's probably assumed that we do have sex.
Yes.
But do you correct them and say that we don't?
I don't want to ruin anybody's, Anyway. All right, let's move on. Let's change topics.
All right.
You ready? I think we've talked enough. Is there anything else that you want to talk about as far as your...
Well, I can be straight up honest. It's not we haven't had sex.
We don't need to do this.
I have not had sex in 2015.
Okay, listen.
We're going to be totally honest.
Let's just put the margarita down, Heather. It sounds like...
It's coconut water.
I know it's coconut
Everybody
water.
Knows it. Everyone.
But why so angry? Sounds like drunk Heather. That's the girl I fell in love with right there. Drunken Heather. All right. Do you want to talk about...
What? No.
Can I bring this up?
No.
What do you even know what it is?
Go ahead.
I'll give you the option of...
give me the option
of deleting it. Of making a note and saying...
Yes.
Well, when we broke up, I started dating a girl, and you and her had like a fight.
We didn't.
You had a tiff. It wasn't a fist fight. It wasn't a physical fight.
All right.
You had a tiff about me, and then a friend of mine was there and told me about it.
Ooh. Yeah. Don't tell me things.
Now, I heard about it late. I heard about it from, not you, but at the time, because we weren't talking, but the current girlfriend was mad about it. And then a guy was like, one of my buddies was like, they were fighting over you last night at the club.
There was no fighting.
There was no fighting.
When you and I talked afterwards,
yes,
you were right. This is kind of the anti of going to California and being myself, where I am learning to sort of curb my natural behaviors. So I wrote a joke. This is what I do with my stand-up. Things happen in my life, and I write jokes about it. It makes me feel better.
So you had a joke about me.
I had a joke about you. There were a few jokes. But one joke was about you being in relationship, which I guess was about her. So she's doing comedy, which, by the way, I mean, come on.
Well, can I just say...
I hope that you meet,
a girl that's not a comedian?
Somebody in real estate.
Okay, but here's the thing. I only meet comedians because that's what I do. You know, if I was in real estate, I would be dating a girl who did real estate probably. But that's because I'm in comedy.
But they always want to talk to me.
Yeah, sometimes they do.
And they're trying to contact me via social media. It's like, stop.
That's happened once.
Twice. Two different people, but yeah.
Okay, I don't even know who the second one is.
Oh, no, not from somebody else.
Some other guy. Oh, okay. But no, yeah, it makes me sound good to hear that you were fighting over me. So this joke about me, and how does she react?
Okay, so I have three jokes.
That are basically about me.
Yeah, and one is...
But one was about...
So she's in the corner, so she's sitting there, and she's writing her set out, you know? And well, here's what happened. I know I'm going out to feel better. So I'm going to do these jokes that I wrote to feel better because my heart hurts, you know? And then I see her and I'm like, "Oh, I hope she doesn't think that like I'm roasting her or something." So I go over, I type it up on my phone and I go over and I kneel next to her and I say, you know, hi. And she's like, I don't remember the exchange, but she was not nice to me, but I was trying to be nice. And I said, I'm not roasting you. I do jokes about my life. And I just want you to know that I'm not roasting you, you know, like have a good set. And I was just trying to give her the heads up, you know, I'm like, I'm not being a bitch, you know. And but she didn't have space for that at the time, which I could understand. But she did not have space for it. She said something like, I know who you are. I've been doing comedy for a long time. And yeah, I know who you are. And I was like, oh, wow. You know, OK, that didn't go as expected. So I go on stage and I do my first couple of jokes, which are straight up about you, which she laughs at because it's hysterical. And we both get it because we've had sex with you. So so she's enjoying that.
Oh, boy.
And then the next joke is about, which I still do, because I like it. It's about how my ex-boyfriend has a new girlfriend, which to me is so weird because I swear to God I peed all over him. Does she not get the rules? And that one didn't go over so well because she didn't like that one as much.
No.
So then when I'm heading towards the bathroom, she says, good set.
Yeah.
And then she says, by the way, Joel and I aren't dating. And I went, oh, okay. And I go, it's still a good joke, though. And then she goes, are you being serious right now? And I said, yeah. And then I realized she was being like thinking I was being negative. And I was like, this is so long ago now, Joel. I don't even remember what I said. But I remember
either.
That when she walked by me and you found yourself a tall woman after me. She walked by me and she shoulder bumped me.
She physically put it out there.
Yeah,
that.
She let me know that she can take care of business.
Okay.
And I believe her. I believe her. But yeah, then when I talked to you afterwards, you said, well, you could have just not done the joke.
Yeah, that might have been the best thing.
Yeah.
And maybe looking back, you agree with me now.
Oh, yeah. Fast forward to the future to another situation I had with another person.
Yeah.
I had written some jokes about this girl, you know, and I didn't do it.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not going to do that to her. Right, I'm not, because I know now that I cannot do it. I don't have to. Okay, it makes me feel better.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I don't have to do it when you're in the room. Right. I can do it some other time.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Well, that just, you know, first of all, two things, and then we'll move on. Number one, you never peed on me. That I want to let everyone know. Maybe people think that is literal, but you were saying you claimed me like
a dog. Yeah, that's
like
a dog joke. Yeah.
You claimed your
people
territory.
People do think that's literal.
I think so.
I think as guys like to pee on girls in the shower.
Is that what it is? I never peed on you either. Just so we can.
Not even like, did you sneak one?
Did I sneak a pee on you? Are you crazy?
No, George did though.
Well, that's I don't know. That's a whole nother
thing. He snuck a pee.
All right, listen.
In the shower. That's
like, you know what? I didn't know that till right now.
Your turnaround, he's like, what are you doing?
No, my God.
I picked some good men.
And the other thing is that girl was ultimately wrong for me anyway. I don't know, you know, I don't want to put her down or anything, but at the same time, at the end of the day, even though I obviously took her side in that, you know, you told the joke and you shouldn't have told the joke. At the same time, she had no reason to get upset, especially the way she was like, well, I'm not really dating Joel. And then she's upset. It's like, you don't be that upset about somebody you don't care about. So she was kind of full of shit in the same way. So I'm with you in that argument.
Well, there is no argument.
If that makes sense.
There is no argument. I attempted.
That's what I heard.
I shouldn't have done that joke.
Right.
I should have, you know, restrained myself from needing to do that joke with that person in the room.
Right.
Know?
Well, whatever. I hope she's doing well because she might hear this. So.
Oh, she is doing well.
I think I don't know. I don't know what she's doing, but hopefully it's well.
She's doing well.
I read the obituaries every day. She's not in it, and that makes me happy. So anyway. All right, let's move on. I think we've talked enough about you and me and stuff, right? Have we done that?
Yeah, I didn't think we would.
Well, we're gonna review movies and stuff, but is there anything else we should cover about us?
I'm afraid to hear some things that
I don't know anything.
Oh God, what questions do I want?
But we had some good times. We had some you went to a Bruce Springsteen show with me, which was fun. I found
we don't need to rehash our relationship.
I found $100 on that.
Oh, we fought though.
We fought a little bit because you were angry about being in a crowd and you were, I don't know. It was raining, you were kind of miserable. You hated the train.
And you were going to keep the $100 and not split it with me. And I felt like I earned some of it. And plus, we're in
your, and what happened?
Plus, we have a partnership.
And what happened with the money?
You ended up splitting
it
with me.
I split it with you, yes. I did split the money with you.
But you weren't going to.
We had a good. We went to Niagara Falls and had a good time.
Can I say the one thing?
Yes.
All right, two things about our relationship. The one thing, the biggest thing, and you are so, you try so hard, is opening doors for me.
Yes.
And us hanging out as friends,
yes.
You're way better at it. But there are times, which I know I did this to you, which would have been really bad if we were in a relationship. There are times when you still drop the ball. We went to 7-Eleven recently, and you hold the door for this lady, and then you walk in and close the door behind me.
I don't remember doing. Well, that's why my defense is that I'm not consciously doing this.
You need to consciously do it. That's the problem. You need to consciously open the door.
But
for
I think sometimes,
me.
Okay, here's what I'm thinking. I'm opening the door for Heather. Then this strange lady comes in or whatever. Like there was a guy leaving the restaurant, wasn't there? There was a lady leaving the restaurant today. We had lunch before the show.
Uh-huh.
And I opened the door for her.
And you held
and
it for
you,
me.
For you, yes.
7-Eleven,
but when that third, what I'm saying is when that third party comes in, the whole plan is out the door. In my head, there's a plan. I'm going to open the door for you. That's going to be it. I'll go in after. There's a whole thing going on. Then somebody else shows up. The whole plan's gone. It's blown up.
This is the only rule. Make sure Heather gets in the door. That's the only thing. Make sure Heather gets in the door.
But sometimes these people are old and infirmed, and maybe they can't get the door.
No, you're going to open. Yeah,
that's my only defense.
Yeah, it's not really, because I don't know that situation where it's been like you let old people in. And not me. It's just, but the opening of the door. Here's something else. I need to clean out my entire life.
And
I have to get rid of things. And I have things in the basement from, you know, the ex. And I have stuff from you, you know. And
sure.
It's like, you know, how do you, can't keep all these things.
No.
And what am I doing? And then I realized, and I'm so happy about the fact that I do create, whether it's through comedy or spoken word or, you know, writing, I do create pieces based on my life experience. So I can throw away anything you ever gave me or any picture or whatever. I will always have the children's book that I wrote for you.
Yes.
I will always have that.
Tell people that what the children's book is.
I wrote a children's book called My Friend Joel for Joel when we were dating on your birthday. And it's this sweet little story about a cat and a dog and about how they're so mm-hmm. different, but yet they're friends. And I will always have that. Mm-hmm. And I will always have, you know, the spoken word of my dad. Like, I'll always have that. And I'll always have the comic strip that I did for my dad. And I have, like, a play in mind or something in mind for the wrestler that I dated. You know, like, these things, these big things, which was,
it sounds funny, cliche,
but it's not. It was this huge relationship that I was in, full of
the wrestler.
Tragic ups
and
downs.
That's what sounded
but,
funny, but yeah. Anyway.
But the fact that I do create these things. So this is what I'm saying. I can throw away, I can liquidate everything because I can create these pieces that are going to last, you know, because thank God for the internet forever.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, feels good. So My Friend Joel.
Yeah, I have My Friend Joel.
Yeah, it's
sitting right on a shelf behind your
great
head.
Book.
It's very good. It's very good. It's up at the very top of that shelf.
I'm not getting up to get it.
Yeah, don't get it.
It's also on my website, heatherkozlikowski.com.
Yeah, you can read the whole thing on there, can't you? Mm-hmm. Isn't the whole PDF of it?
Yeah, which people say I should take that off and only do a little taste of
so
it.
So then you can sell it and not give it away. Yeah, maybe that's what they should do. But if you're a fan of this show and you want to read the children's book, get it now.
Get it now
while
I
it's hot.
It
All right, well, let's move on. We've got movies to review. We've got TV shows. You haven't seen these TV shows, I don't think, but I can talk about those. So where should we start? Let's start with Big Brother. Fans of this show know I watch stupid Big Brother every year, and every year I hate it. Every year I sit down and go, "Why the fuck am I watching this garbage?" This year, one of the wrinkles, because they do new twists every year on this Big Brother. You familiar with the show? I mean, I think I made you watch it once, and you told me it was idiotic, and you'll never watch it again.
They watch people in a house are being watched.
Yeah, they all live together and they compete, and then one person's left and they win $500,000 or whatever. Okay. Well, the big wrinkle is there's a transsexual person on the show this year. There's a girl that was born a man.
Mm-hmm.
a lady that was once a fella is on the show. And apparently, from watching this, nobody really likes the lady that was once a man. But everyone's afraid to, like, nominate her to go home because they don't want to seem like they're picking on the transgendered person. So they're sort of in a quandary on this show.
That's a rub.
Yeah, so that is kind of a weird rub. Although I will say, and listen, I'm not like, listen, it doesn't matter to me what somebody looks like or whatever. But the girl, really, you would not know it was a guy. Really, I don't think. So, you know. But she said right away on the first day, like, hey, I was born a man. Whereas they could have maybe held on to that.
But she just has a terrible personality.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. And I'm not blaming that on, you know, the fact that, you know, you used to have a dick. And then your personality went bad. She just was stirring up things in the house and gossiping. And but they won't apparently get rid of this woman because they're afraid they're going to look like bullies.
And they talk about this, like, on a private camera?
Yeah, the girl that they voted out last week sat down with Julie Chen, the host, and said, everyone's afraid to vote Audrey out because they're afraid they're going to look like they're picking on a tranny. On television.
Do they say tranny? Because that's
No, I added the tranny.
Maybe you don't do that.
I'm just breaking it down into its essential elements.
Transgendered person.
So we all, but I don't need to be politically correct on this show because they're all my fans. All right. So that's Big Brother. It's okay. Then they have the twins where they switch out. Where there's twins, but they don't know it's twins. They just think it's one girl. But when that girl goes in to do her little diary things and talk right into the camera, the other girl comes in, and then they switch out.
Weird.
Yeah, so they're doing that too. But then they busted, when somebody busted the twins. You know how they busted the twins? It's two girls, pretty girls. They busted the twins because in a bikini, the one girl was fatter than the other girl. Which, now that sounds bad. That sounds like you're, you know, like, hey, and even like, you know, the chubby girl's not chubby at all. But the other girl's, like, real thin, you know what I mean? And, like, if they wore sweaters and stuff all the time, you wouldn't know. But literally, it was like, yeah, she was fatter last week, or she was fatter. And then, but now they're being mean, like, behind her back, and they're going, oh, is this the fat one or the skinny one that's here right now and stuff? Aww. So it's weird. Meanwhile, the girl probably weighs 110 pounds. I mean, the fat one, even, you know, the quote-unquote
fat one.
People
are terrible.
Isn't it? Well, that show brings out the worst in people, and that's why some people don't like it, but I'm still watching it, and it is garbage. I admit it's garbage. It's not good. Don't watch it. I'm watching it. I mean, if you want to watch it because there's a tranny that no one will vote out, watch it for that. If you want to watch it because there's twins who switch back and forth, watch it for
that. I will not be watching.
You will not be watching
this show.
Big Brother, thank you very much. You're also not watching Penn and Teller Fool Us, which is a great show. It's on season two right now. They just started last week. And it's a show where magicians come on. Maybe you'll like it when you hear the premise, Heather. Magicians come on. They do their best trick for Penn and Teller. If they fool Penn and Teller for how it's done, they win a prize, and then they get to open for Penn and Teller at their show in Las Vegas.
That sounds great.
And then, you know, so they do their routine, and then Penn and Teller talk, and they tell them if they figured out how they did it, and sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't.
Man.
It's pretty cool,
what
huh?
What are the ratings on this one?
Very good.
Yeah.
Well, it's on the CW, so you got to consider, you know, ratings on the CW not as good as ratings on Fox.
You love that magic.
I do.
You love that Penn and Teller.
I like
Penn.
We went to Penn and Teller.
Yes, we did.
It was very good.
It was very good.
You met Penn and Teller.
I did.
You took a picture with them.
I did.
Very nice. I'm going to see Penn and Teller next month on Broadway, so talk about that more as that gets closer. But, yeah, I'm going to New York for Penn and Teller on Broadway. So I'm a big fan. I love this show. It's wonderful. It's hosted by Jonathan Ross.
So it's all about magic.
It's a magic show.
Magic.
Guys come on and do, and then at the end, Penn and Teller do a trick, which are very good.
And then you're like, I know how they did that.
Then I go on the internet and try to, if I don't know how it's done, I have to figure out how it's done. But I'm pretty good like that. I know how it's done most of the time. Most of the time. Not always, but sometimes I can figure it out. I'm smart like that. All right, let's move on. So that's on the CW. I recommend you watch. There's not a lot on TV. What else? What on TV are you watching? Are you watching anything? Because I know we watched The Comedians. I've talked about that on the show, but that was something you and I watched together with Billy Crystal and Josh Gad,
which I loved.
You like it? You love Josh Gad?
Yeah.
It was good. It wasn't great. It was good. I enjoyed it. It was sort of
I like Billy Crystal, too.
You do like Billy Crystal.
Yeah, I like his 700 good. Sundays.
Okay, that I never saw.
I'm inspired to do a spoken word with a director.
Yeah.
And I'm inspired
one
to
woman show.
Work on a sitcom in L.A., like
good.
A variety
well, that'd be good
show.
For you.
It's inspirational.
You could get a job on The Comedians.
Yeah.
It'd be great.
I could.
Be Josh Gad's love interest.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Crystal's love interest.
He's married.
Well, maybe he breaks up with the wife on the show. It could happen. Mm.
That's
Larry weird. David and his wife broke up on the, in real life and then on the show.
Breakups.
So we watched that. And what other television are you watching?
We started watching that Frankie and...
Yeah, I've talked about that.
The two old ladies.
Jane Fonda.
Somebody
and,
said I sounded like Jane Fonda. I do not remember who I was talking to. I think a comedian.
Really?
And said you sound like Jane Fonda.
I don't. I disagree.
I have
Jane,
not heard
Jane
her
Fonda
enough.
Has sort of a... She has sort of a theatrical voice.
I have no idea.
But I don't know. Yeah, I don't hear it.
I have no. Who's heard Jane Fonda enough?
They're big 9 to 5 fans.
Somebody else gave me a compliment on my voice recently via.
You have a great voice.
The textbook. They said it was like a mixture between satin and leather.
First of all, what the fuck is a mixture of satin and leather?
It sounds like a good thing, though.
Yeah, it's for a voice.
I think he meant it as a compliment.
Oh, good. Sounds like he wanted to get satin and put you in leather and...
Leather and lace?
Throw you between satin, yeah.
I'll be
know.
Your leather, you be lace or something?
So, yeah, we watched that. And what else? Anything recently? I mean, I'm thinking... You and I usually watch TV, but we watch The Comedians, and then we've been watching movies and stuff. I'll get to all those, so... Yeah, I don't think there's anything, right?
TV.
You didn't watch any HBO stuff?
I watched all of Deadbeat, which is a Hulu original. I watched all of that. I'm getting caught up on Louie.
Okay.
I watched all of Broad City.
Okay. I saw a couple of Broad Cities with you. That was good.
Love it.
I didn't see enough. I didn't see them all, but I watched a couple with you.
I watched
and they were
all
fun.
Of Broad City.
You watched Game of Thrones all the way through.
Yes.
Which Corey did, too. He gave us a review.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Man, I stopped watching that.
Yeah, don't watch it with Joel Fragamenti. He will not understand.
In Game of Thrones, they deliberately try to confuse you. And they just bring people on, and you don't know who the fuck they are, no. And they never really explain. And maybe they explain later. I don't want to wait. Tell me now who the fuck they are. That's all I say. I'm done with that. I stopped watching.
Yeah.
I heard, but Corey's review, and I heard this from other people, is a lot of other people feel like they're done with it. It sort of dropped off a little bit. Sort of went people not as into it maybe now as they used to be. It might have been that jump the shark sort of season this year where it will never be as good as it once was. That's what some people are saying.
Listen,
people,
I drag you to go see
people
cartoon
say
films.
We'll get to those.
I think honestly, I don't think I'd ever be... I'm not hard on stuff.
You're
you
not.
Know? Like, I loved it. It was great. What if I hated? I mean, that list is very small.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, here's what
I watched all of Deadbeat.
Yeah. I don't even know what... no one even knows what that is. That's how bad it is for
it's
you.
It's about this guy, this stoner, who sees ghosts. And I watched all the seasons available, which may have only been one.
Yeah.
But who's the tiny guy, DeVito, Danny DeVito? His daughter's in it.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
And then you you also I had somewhere to go there. No, I don't even know.
Well, I'm sorry.
You only seem to hate things. If I bring something to you, you're usually tough on it.
I am.
Yeah. Oh. Why is that? Do you ever wonder why that is?
Because I have a thing against authority. No, I don't know.
But if I recommend something,
I don't realize it about myself.
Sometimes here's what you say. Here's what you said the other night.
You're projecting a bit.
Here's what you said the other night.
Okay.
You said If I recommend something to you, you'll definitely hate it if we're watching it together.
No, that's not.
Meaning if I've seen it, but if you watch it by yourself, you like it more? Or
this
is
why
completely
you get
opposite?
Lost. This is why you
what?
Get lost in Game of Thrones, because you don't pay attention.
What did you say? It's something like that.
Okay.
So you tell everybody.
This is what it is.
Tell people what
this
it is.
This says a lot about me, and I'm oh,
yeah.
Man.
Okay.
Well, hey. Okay, so... You were flipping through things to watch, and whenever anything like sexy came up, something that had like was about sex or sexy,
what?
you're not gonna like that. You're not gonna like that. Is that true or not? Do you say that?
I don't remember
when
specifically
something
what
that
we
has
clicked through.
But something, whatever
okay.
Film. Name a film that was out in theaters that you said was. People said how sexy it was, and I was like, well, I don't want to.
There's
go
a
see
horror
that.
Movie called It Follows.
Yeah.
Which I think is actually, you can rent it now at home. I think it just came out.
What do they say about it online?
It was considered the best horror movie of the year.
And?
But you watched the trailer or something and it was too sexy and you go, we can't go to that. It's too.
I didn't even watch the trailer. You just said about it being sexy. So I'm like, I don't want to see that. With you, there is something with me and we can, and I could probably figure out where this comes from, but I worry about what you're thinking.
Mm.
It's too problematic for me. I don't want to be watching a film thinking about what you're thinking.
So if there's a movie with like a good looking girl and I'm watching it, you're thinking, oh, Joel wants to fuck that girl, and now that ruins it for you.
Not so much anymore. When we're in a relationship, most definitely.
Now,
when we were in a relationship, now, for sure.
So wait a minute. So now when I'm watching Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin, you're not concerned at all that I might have wood over Lily Tomlin.
I'm not concerned.
You're not concerned about that at all.
I'm good with
that.
Okay,
that's fine.
But that's what I was saying. What did I watch? I watched the documentary Life After Porn, and I watched another documentary called Hot Girls Wanted.
Yeah, which I never saw. You watched those on your own.
I would never watch them with you.
Yeah, because you would be worried that I would.
I just don't want to be in your head.
Right. Okay.
I don't want to be in your head. I want to be.
You don't
want to present
think,
with the film.
You don't want to think what I'm thinking.
And, yeah, and that's what I do. I put myself into like what are you thinking?
Right.
And it makes I don't like it.
Right.
I just rather not.
We watched a movie called Obvious Child, which I recommended to you. And we watched it together because there's a thing where, and I've talked about this on the show, where maybe it's based on Louis C.K. and he's going to masturbate in front of her and stuff. And
you misled
I thought it was
me.
Interesting. Yeah, I kind of forgot how much abortion material was in Obvious Child.
But. That was a bullshit romance that would never happen.
Okay.
And you were like, oh yeah, this is a great comedy movie.
Well, it's about a comedian.
Women
I don't know
doing
what
stand-up.
It's about a woman doing stand-up.
Really good, yeah, but most of her stand-up is her doing it badly because that's like the gimmick.
Yeah.
Or that's the scene is that she's spilling out her
she's emotional
personal stuff.
And
yeah,
the
she's
comedy's
being emotional.
Not good. Yeah.
So the stand-up isn't great.
Right.
And then it's about her being pregnant and getting an abortion and this guy like coming to the abortion clinic with flowers. It's bullshit. That would never happen.
And I had to sit there with you angry watching that.
Yeah.
And then
I thought I was going to get this great comedy movie and I got this.
Yeah, it wasn't as funny.
Romance
as...
about
it
an abortion clinic.
It was funny to me in ways it wasn't funny to you. Oh boy. Oh boy, I just got to look. Okay, let's move on. Let's move on to the next example of this. Well, I recommended the movie Frank to you about the singer. It's based on a guy named Frank Sidebottom who was this weird singer who wore a big paper mache head on stage.
Is that based on a true story?
Yeah, it's a real guy. There's a real guy that did that. The stuff in the movie isn't him, but there's a real guy who was weird, who wore this big head and did comedy and music and had his own television
Modest
show for
Mouse.
A while. Yeah, his name's Frank Sidebottom. Frank Sidebottom.
Yeah, I saw the movie.
Frank, which made me cry, was one of my best movies of last year. You watched it and thought it was...
Good.
Good. Okay, good. See, there you go.
It was good.
I wasn't with you when we watched it, but
I was
you
not
liked
moved
it.
To tears.
I was.
Because you're a pussy. No, it was good.
It was good. Frank was good. So there's one that I earned.
I was moved to tears at Minions today, I think.
Okay, let's talk about Minions then. Let's go there. Well, Minions came
I
out.
I wasn't actually. I didn't cry.
You didn't cry.
My favorite moment was involved crying. But anyway, Minions.
Minions was good. And now Minions, an animated movie that, to me, looked like this was really, really going to be for little kids. This Minions.
I know when I texted you, I was like, would you
I know.
Please go see this with me?
You presented
would you
that
consider
as,
this?
Like, is there any chance? And then you go like, well, why don't we go to the drive-in and it'll make it more fun for you because you don't have to pay attention or something. Or,
well, because you like the drive-in.
I like the drive-in. But yeah, it would be a thing where we could goof on it or something. But
no,
meanwhile,
we weren't going to be goofing on it. We would be watching
there
it.
Will be no goofing on Minions.
But you could be looking left. Which is another thing.
Yeah, explain that. Explain
another
that
thing
to people.
That you do that
explain
pisses
that
me
to
off.
People. What?
Okay. Joel Fragamenti, constantly looking left.
I don't know what that means.
It means you look
explain
left.
It.
You look
I look left when I'm supposed to be looking ahead.
When you should be in, you should be
when
present
we were dating. You
space.
Always,
always
you
looking
always,
left. You know what I find?
I'm looking
left?
Away from you.
You know what I would
you're,
find?
I'm, you're on my right, and I'm looking left.
And to the left, I would see. Oh,
yeah, there would be
a lady with sexy gams. and a skirt a little too short.
Yeah, you would accuse me of looking at other women all the time. And I would be like, what are you talking about? I don't even know what you're talking about.
But you know what? I think it was just sometimes there would happen to be a lady with large breasts and long legs, sometimes to your left. But then, really, honestly, as we became friends, I realized you just look left. There's no rhyme or reason.
Look left.
You just look left.
God forbid I look left.
But in relationship,
I should look more
there
right.
There was always a woman there.
Well, you're on my right when we're driving, or when we're at the movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're always looking left. You should be looking right.
I should be looking right at you. I'm looking right at you right now.
God, this podcast just shows how needy I am. And I have to say, it's not that it's not true. It's not that it's not true.
That you're not needy.
I am
and
needy.
And I look left.
And yet you look left.
Joel looks left. All right. But Minions I thought was going to be for little kids. And meanwhile, the thing about it that I think people say, it's all sight gags. It's like a sight gag every 2 seconds. There's constantly one of these Minions is doing something stupid or falling down or whatever. And some of those, it gets a little, I thought it got a little tedious with the number, like it was sort of exhausting all the visual gags, but it takes place in the 60s and there's lots of 60s references, which like little kids will never get.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reference to the play Hair and the movie Hair that like no little kid is going to get. You and I barely got it. We talked about
it
afterwards.
We're not even sure if we got it.
No, we did, but it was
I was like, is that a reference to the musical Hair?
They start singing, give me a girl with hair or give me a man with hair.
They don't actually
long, beautiful
say those words.
But yeah,
though.
It's in Minion nonsense talk. And
which,
so like no one would get that.
Which is a mixture of Spanish and Italian and French.
Is it really?
And baby talk.
Is it?
Did you not hear?
You Googled?
They say sí.
Yeah,
no.
they said gracias sometimes
si,
instead of thank you.
And uno, dos.
Yeah, yeah. But it's nonsense.
Uno.
Yeah. So,
but
yeah.
It's not nonsense.
It is
nonsense. It's Spanish.
Right, but
and
it's put
Italian,
together in a nonsensical
Bella.
Way.
No, the beautiful fire hydrant
right.
Was Bella.
Sometimes they do say something you
and
pick up on.
And he wants uno, not yeah. Dos.
The hair song we didn't understand, let's
no,
be honest.
But the long hair was
right.
Our
and
cute.
There's references to the Beatles in it. There's Rolling Stones music in it. There's a lot of stuff that is that I think adults will appreciate. And I do think that the comedy, I think a lot of the visual stuff works, and I thought it was cute. And I thought it was better than I thought it was going to be. So I enjoyed Minions. I thought Minions was better than I thought. You know, not my favorite animated movie of all time, but good enough. If you have kids and you want to take them to it, you won't want to poke yourself in the eye like I have at some of these. But like How to Train Your Dragon 2, I wanted to poke myself in the eye. We watched that.
That was a disappointment.
I think Rio was, I don't even like, we watched Rio 2.
Yeah, that was not as good as the original
the
Rio.
The original, which I didn't see the original Rio. And I actually didn't see the original How to Train Your Dragon. But
like The Godfather, these should have been left.
So so that wasn't good. But then the other animated movie that we saw recently was Inside Out, the new Pixar movie, which I haven't talked about yet on this show. Now, we went to that expecting it to be great. And while it was good, it was actually disappointing.
It lagged in the middle.
Yeah. It sort of becomes like The Wizard of Oz at a certain point, I thought, where it became this like journey of these wacky characters going mm-hmm, through and mm-hmm. meeting strange people and weird mm-hmm. things happening. And I don't know, it seemed to have lost the plot a little bit. Like the first half hour was good, and then it just kind of dragged. And it's also like, I kind of hate these, and maybe it's why I like Minions too, is like, you know, don't make me cry in your fucking cartoon. I don't need that. You know? Don't try to like turn a switch and make me cry.
Minions didn't try for that.
No, it didn't. But I think Inside Out did, and I think definitely Toy Story 3 did.
About feelings.
Yeah. So you know, don't you know, you don't need to do that. You can just be funny. Bugs Bunny never wanted to make me cry, and I enjoy the fuck out of Bugs Bunny.
You do?
Yeah. I don't watch a lot of Bugs Bunny now, but because I've seen it all. But yeah, the old Bugs Bunny, wonderful cartoons. And that's what I feel like Minions is more like in keeping in that tradition. Pixar does these movies that are real emotional, and sometimes they work for me, and sometimes, you know, the Toy Story movies were great. Up was pretty good, especially that beginning. Inside Out is somewhere maybe a little below that, I thought. It was good. It's a good cast. All comedians, mm-hmm. the main cast. The people in her head were all comics. It was Lewis Black, Mindy Kaling, Phyllis Smith from The Office was the sad, I forget what she was called in the thing, and Bill
sad.
Hayden.
Sad.
Was she sad? Was she sad?
I don't know. Didn't they just have names like happy,
yeah,
joy.
Joy, yeah.
Anger.
Yeah.
Sadness. Fear.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. But you also agree, right? On Inside Out, you weren't.
I was set up for, the I mean, I put it on thing, Twitter. Yeah. I'm like, I'm ready to go see this. You have no idea.
Yeah, you're ready to.
I'm all about feelings and expressing them. And yeah. let's learn how to cope as humans. Let's do this.
Yeah.
And at first, it's amazing. It's like, yeah, this is so good. But then it lags in the middle. Abstract thought. They kind of lost me in the whole abstract thought.
Well, they're
not they lost me. I totally get it. But why?
They were taking a trip around the brain, which didn't do anything but kind of kill time, you know?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, it kind of killed. So you didn't cry at all during Inside Out?
No.
Yeah, that was surprising. But
because they were asking for it.
but that's what I think is the problem with these movies is they ask you. They're setting you up to cry, and then you sort of feel manipulated. Yeah. Like, it's not organic. You're not really, you know.
What did I watch at dinner with you, and I started crying, and you were like, whoa. It was something on your phone, and I started crying. Do you remember?
The Stone Dog?
No.
I can't remember.
I don't remember either.
But it was like you were watching a YouTube video?
Yeah,
when
like
you cried?
A YouTube video.
Oh.
And you were like... Whoa.
Yeah, I can't remember what that was.
Not like my shoulders were shaking.
I don't know.
Like whatever it was. It was something silly like...
It was an animal video or something maybe.
Or like,
right?
I don't know, maybe like a baby in a bathtub or something. Like something that you wouldn't... That shouldn't be so sad. And I was...
Boy,
we were in the restaurant.
My life sounds so exciting. We go to restaurants and watch babies in bathtubs on YouTube.
And I cry.
No wonder I'm single. Jesus Christ. You really are the girl for me.
Aww.
But listen, Inside Out, not as good as I think a lot of us expected. And
but the lesson is fantastic. People need to grow. Come on,
yeah.
If you feel you need some personal development, Inside Out is a great starter.
And it's about the parents don't love the girl like she thinks anymore, and she feels like they're distant. And
it's about expressing your feelings, and that none of your feelings are bad.
And you can relate to all that stuff.
Yeah, I've studied it for a long time.
I can't relate to that as much because I'm not a girl that has, you know.
But you understand the concept of it's healthy to express your feelings, and it's unhealthy to suppress them.
Sure.
And when you suppress them, crazy things happen, and you behave in weird ways.
Okay.
That's the truth of it. When you express your emotions in a healthy way, you live a healthy life. And it's when you're not expressing them, when you're suppressing them, that you blow up on other people, that you're angry, that you...
Yeah.
You know, that you keep yourself in situations that you shouldn't be in, you know, that you abuse drugs and food and sex and, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Well, Inside Out was I think Minions is more fun, though. Agreed? If you have to go see an animated movie.
Yes.
Go see Minions.
Well, if you need to learn a little something. Go see Inside Out.
And then we saw what might be the best movie of the summer. Really, I'm thinking I like Mad Max a lot, and I've talked about it on the show already. And You were, Mad Max was not really your thing, but I thought Mad Max might be, you liked it, but.
It was a good movie. Everybody talked about what a powerful female film it was.
That's in there.
And yeah, it's in there, but I just thought it was too much for me. It was too fast, too loud, too powerful, too gross.
Yeah.
The images, you know, were disturbing and the. It was just too much. It was to me, the experience was very masculine. Mm. You know what I mean? In that like it felt like a guy's movie. And I left going, and the next movie we're gonna see is Inside Out. A cartoon about
Mad Max too much. Okay, but I've already reviewed Mad Max. But this might be the best movie, I think, at least from our consensus, as you and I've seen together, and it surprised me that it was even as good as it was Spy with Melissa McCarthy.
Yes.
Yeah, you had a great time at Spy.
Yes.
I did too. I enjoyed it.
And I watched Tammy afterwards, too.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah. I'm gonna meet me some Melissa McCarthy.
Melissa McCarthy.
I got some goals.
Spy was directed by a guy that went to the same high school as me, Paul Feig, from Clinton Township, Michigan.
Older or younger?
Older.
Oh.
He's 10 years older than me, probably, so we were not at the high school at the same time. But I always feel like if I ever get a shot to be, like, in a Paul Feig movie, I can go, like, went to Chippewa Valley, man. Come on, dude. Put me in, you know. So maybe one day.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Freaks and Geeks was a show he created, which was essentially based on my high school.
Huh. Would you have been a freak or a geek?
I would have been a geek. Definitely a geek. But a good geek. A smart geek.
Yeah.
Not
a handy geek.
Not a big nerd. Like, I was into nerdy stuff, but I was cool. And I was funny. Like, I could be social.
You were funny.
I was funny. Believe it or not, I was funny.
Really?
Well, all the jock guys liked me because I was on the wrestling team and I hung out with them and in gym class and stuff. And I wasn't really good. I wasn't even good at wrestling, even though I was on it. But I could do it. I could hang out with them. And I was the funny guy amongst them. And then I went to science lab and went to chemistry and computer lab and all that stuff and played the nerdy games and I played Dungeons and Dragons and stuff, but then I could play poker with the jocks too, you know? So I sort of went at two worlds that I existed in high school. And then the third world, which was chicks, I did not exist in. That one I did not, that one I didn't, I think when I was a senior, I had some sophomores that were hot for me, but that never went anywhere. So yeah. But anyway, let's move on to Spy. Oh yeah. Spy. Paul Feig directed. Melissa McCarthy stars as a spy. And I know you're going like Melissa McCarthy as this fat spy who can't handle herself in the field is what it's going to be like. But she actually is really good. That's part of the what makes the movie good is that she's like a good spy.
Mm-hmm.
And they show her training and shooting things. And, you know, she ends up without ruining the plot. She ends up she really is just working at a desk in for the CIA. And then things happen. She has to go out in the field. Mm-hmm. To investigate something.
And she's so funny.
Yeah, she's good. She's funny.
She looks great.
I think if there's any criticism, I thought towards the end, maybe the last third, it becomes her just insulting Eurotrash villains one after another. I thought that got a little old, where they would keep introducing they're in Europe and these henchmen would come up to her and she always had this quick line for them and I was like, okay, that's enough of those. Just move the plot along because the plot was actually pretty good. It was actually a pretty good spy movie, I thought. In addition to being funny, so
it's good.
Spy was good. Yeah, enjoy. Jason Statham is in that playing, which is funny because he's not even like you think he'd be the muscle in the movie, but he's actually just kind of a big doofus, which is good. And Jude Law is in there as one of the CIA guys, and her friends were good. Like I don't even know her name. The she was like a British girl who played her kind of her assistant or her cohort.
Mm-hmm.
She was really good. And Rose Byrne is one of the lead villains. She was one of the bridesmaids as well as Melissa McCarthy. She was actually, I think she was the girl who was getting married in Bridesmaids.
Yes, she was.
Yeah, she was the girl who was getting married in Bridesmaids. She's sort of the villain in this. And it's good. Go see Spy. I was shocked by how much I enjoyed it. Now, I didn't think I'd hate it, but I was surprised how good it really was. Because when I see stuff like Tammy and Identity Thief with Melissa McCarthy, I just kind of go, eh. She's just doing fat jokes and stuff. But Spy was really good.
It was good.
It was good. You loved it.
I enjoyed Tammy after.
Did
Maybe
you?
I okay. wouldn't have enjoyed it before.
Yeah.
But I was in a Melissa McCarthy glow.
Yeah. After.
I was in the afterglow.
After Spy. Yeah, that was really good. I enjoyed that. So go watch that. I'm shocked me that I liked it as much as I did, but there you go.
Made me want to go get a scooter. But I'm not sure a big girl can ride a scooter like
well,
that.
Well, they you know, they did that joke in the movie where she finds a scooter in Italy or wherever they are. And she gets on it and she like falls down or whatever. And then 30 seconds later, she's in a car chase on the scooter going through these narrow streets, you know, cobblestone streets, which, you know, doesn't really make sense. But
I might have to get a scooter. Gas is expensive.
In LA, you're going to be on a scooter.
Be on a scooter, yeah. I think you're allowed to like drive in between cars, too. You don't have to. You don't have to abide by the rules.
I'm gonna die on that scooter.
Yeah, you're gonna die sometime.
All right, now on to stuff that. Now this stuff I streamed. There's a bunch of documentaries I watched in the house, and Heather didn't see any of these. So let me go through these real quick because I think they're all good. An Honest Liar is a documentary about James Randi, who is a magician and an escape artist, who. As he got older in life, a very famous guy in the 50s and the 60s, as he went on, he became a debunker of psychics and people who claim to have psychic powers and different things where they can move things. And he was on a bunch of TV shows like, you know, the guy named Uri Geller could bend spoons with his mind, he said. And he went to war with Randi over that. And Randi said it was just a magician trick. And he demonstrated how a magician would do it. And they had this big feud. And so it's a documentary about him. One thing that makes it interesting, because Randy's very old now. I think he's in his 80s. He's still alive. He's in his 80s. But where it's interesting, and I think the title, An Honest Liar, comes from, he's a guy who actually had a secret in his private life that he kept for his whole life that only is now coming out. And if I tell you what it is, it will ruin the movie. So I won't do that.
I almost
watched
it.
But it's very
this.
Interesting. It's on Netflix now. That's yeah, what I was going to say. It. I rented it. I paid money to watch it. I paid like $6 on Amazon. And then 2 weeks later, it was out on Netflix. But I didn't regret watching it because it was really great. And,
so based on his secrets, his secret that is revealed, based on that.
Yes.
Do you, not you, because I know that you don't, but say would I.
Yeah.
I go into this film. And I have seen psychics. I enjoy seeing psychics.
Yes.
It's fun. I'm open to whatever. I'm open yeah. to there being a part of the universe that I can't see, but uh-huh. maybe somebody else can. And then there's a secret. So here this guy debunks them all. Everybody's liars and stuff. And then yeah. the secret gets revealed.
Sure.
Do I leave the film believing as I do now that there's part of the universe that I can't touch, but maybe
well,
somebody else can? Or
I don't
is
think
it debunked?
His, well, two things. One, you'll see these examples that he's done over the years where he's debunked these people. And I think you'll agree that all of those people were phony. I don't think you can disagree and go, no, they were real and he was being a dick. I don't think that would be the case from anyone watching it. And then I think, even though I'm skeptical of all that stuff and you're not, I think by the end, his secret doesn't have to do with that kind of stuff at all. It's about his personal life. And I think that can make you go, well, you know, he's picking on all these people for lying and all the while he was sort of lying to us, too. But I think he has a reason for it. And I think you'll actually like the guy a lot. I think by the end of the movie, I don't know what it's going to do to your take on psychics or supernatural or any of that stuff. It's funny because John Tenney, who, you know as well and has been on this show many times, who was this paranormal investigator, was like, James Randi's full of shit. I'm sick of his shit and blah, 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 blah. Because he doesn't like that, because when anyone that follows him would never, you know, give Tenney 5 cents to come to their house and investigate a ghost that probably doesn't exist. So Tenney was sort of negative on it. But I think you would like the guy personally. It's a really poignant story. It's really neat. So honest liar. I think you're going to watch it, huh?
Yeah.
Good. Watch it. It's good. I'll watch it with you if you like. But then you'll project things.
What's the next film?
I would like to watch it again. It was so good. And then I watched something, and this was on CNN. It was it actually came out last year, and I know the song was nominated. The new song they made up for it. It's a documentary about Glen Campbell called "I'll Be Me." Glen Campbell was a country and pop singer who was in the '60s and the '70s. Was a studio musician who became a solo act and. Had a lot of big hits, Southern Nights and a Rhinestone Cowboy and Wichita Lineman. He's doing anything. You want to hear some Glen Campbell or are you good? People, Heather? I'll play you some Glen Campbell.
Sure.
All right, let's hear a little Glen Campbell as
I'm
I
thirsty.
Talk about
I'm out of coconut water.
Would you want to go get some?
While you go queue up some
Yeah, well, I'll start talking about Glen Campbell, yeah. And okay. You go ahead and get the coconut water and come back. Yeah, Glen was... In the 60s, he was a studio musician. He was in something called The Wrecking Crew, which is actually there's a documentary about The Wrecking Crew as well, which I did see recently. And I was going to wait for Corey to be here to review The Wrecking Crew movie. But so he was this real famous guy, great guitar player, one of the great studio musicians. Let's play a little. Let's hear. What do you want to hear? A little. I like this a lot. This is Gentle on My Mind. So. But the thing about I'll Be Me that's so interesting and. That your door is always open and your path if you put your headphones on, you hear some Glen Campbell.
Ooh.
A little Gentle on My Mind for you. But what's Glen? It documents Glen Campbell's final world tour. He can no longer tour because he has Alzheimer's, and he can no longer remember things. He doesn't know the lyrics to his songs. His children are in his band. He doesn't remember their name when he tries to go introduce them on stage. It's very sad, very emotional. And you see him going to his doctor's appointments, and they're doing quizzes, and he can't remember, the things the doctors are telling him. His wife is in there, and it's very sad hearing his wife talk about how he's deteriorated. A lot of the footage seemed to be like his wife shot it on her phone while they were at home, and he's getting angry because he can't remember things and stuff. It's really, really emotional. Very sad. So
This is a song that he wrote with Alzheimer's?
No, this is an old song.
Oh, he's talking about...
He is talking
things.
About memories, yeah. Well, yeah. I'll play one of those.
That you're moving on the back roads by the rivers of my memory.
Yeah, he's talking about memory in this. Just gentle on my mind. But you remember, you remember some of these probably, right? This is Southern Nights. I think this was from the late 70s. Might have been the early 80s with Southern Nights. It's kind of a cheesy pop song. Southern
Nights. Was this in Rhinestone Cowboy?
Well, that's his other song. Yeah.
There you go.
Same guy, yeah. But you remember this song, right? Everyone remembers Southern Nights. And there's another... This is Rhinestone Cowboy. You love all this now.
I've been walking these streets so long, singing the same
But
old
I- I'll
song.
Tell you what, man. I really almost lost it during I'll Be Me. It was so sad. And it was so, like, I totally see my dad in him. My dad is starting to have some memory issues. He hasn't been diagnosed with Alzheimer's or anything. But I totally see my dad doing some of these things. You know, Glenn Campbell's constantly got stuff in his teeth he's trying to pick out, and it annoys him. And my dad does that, and it's just kind of sad. And, you know, but I totally, like, this was a really emotional movie. So it's called I'll Be Me. CNN's been running it. It's going to be out on video on demand and stuff, I think, in August.
Like a rhinestone cowboy.
Pretty sad, huh?
What is the Purple Arrow campaign?
Is that an Alzheimer's thing?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's not in the movie, but I know he went in front of Congress with his daughter. His daughter ends up being one of the stars of the movie. Young, real young, pretty blonde girl, plays banjo in his band, really good musician. And she's testifying about how her dad can't remember her, and it's just, like, heartbreaking. It's really...
And they want to get funding.
Yeah, they want to get funding for Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
My grandma
had Alzheimer's.
The guy who made the movie is a guy named James Keach, who's an actor who's been in much stuff. He's Stacy Keach's brother, who's another famous actor. And he's Jane Seymour's husband from, Jane Seymour from Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman.
Mm-hmm.
That's her husband. So she was the producer of the movie, Jane Seymour. I think they're friends, yeah. And then this is the movie that, you know, he got together with the Wrecking Crew guys again, and they show him recording this. This is the movie, this is the song that's at the end of the movie. And they show him recording this, and they have to, like, literally hold the lyrics up in front of his face for him to sing them. And it's really sad, and it's, really good song, though. Did you hear a little bit of this?
Guitar, sing my songs.
You can hear me, he's a little gone vocally too, you know.
It never defined who I am. The man that loved you till the end. You're the last person I will love.
It's really sad.
You're the last face I will recall, and best of all, I'm not gonna miss you.
Yeah, it's really sad. It's a really sad sentiment that, you know, he's not gonna miss, you know, his wife, because he's gonna be erased from his mind eventually, you know. Yeah. Anyway. I should stop playing this, right? Because it's getting sad. I'm sorry. But it's a great movie. You should watch that if you get a chance to see I'll Be Me, the Glenn Campbell documentary. It's really
good.
Wow,
if you need a good cry.
Yeah, I mean,
that
song's sad. Uh-oh.
Wow.
I said we'd save the crying for later in the show.
Is this the end of the show?
I don't know. The other documentary, but that's great. And like I said, the Wrecking Crew documentary is very good as well. Glenn's in that. They actually shot that a few years ago, and I think they had rights issues with the music. The Wrecking Crew was the band that made all these. They were the backing group for all these solo artists and acts, the Monkees, all the music, and the Beach Boys music was all played by these studio guys called the Wrecking Crew. Glenn Campbell was one of them, and there's a documentary about them that you can watch. I watched that as well, so that's something else. But and then the other thing I saw was Soaked in Bleach, which is the movie about The conspiracy of Kurt Cobain's murder, allegedly. You can rent that. I rented that on Vimeo. And I don't believe that Kurt Cobain was murdered. I watched this whole documentary. I still don't believe that Kurt Cobain was murdered. But it is a good story.
Mm-hmm.
And they did some interesting stuff the way they shot it, because they had these tapes of this private investigator that was Courtney Love hired to find Kurt. And he couldn't find Kurt, and then Kurt ended up dead. But he was investigating the whole time and interviewing Courtney and interviewing all these people in Kurt's life. And what they would do is they would play you the audio tape, and then like they'd cut to the actors redoing the tape. So you saw the actors acting out exactly what was on the tape. Uh-huh. And they would go back and forth from the real tape to the actors doing it. So it was kind of a cool style that they did it in. But yeah, Kurt wasn't murdered. And, you know, I read all the Kurt Cobain books, and I like Nirvana a lot. And he still didn't, you know, he still was not murdered, even based on this. The movie would like you to think that he was murdered because, you know, this guy wrote a book or whatever he's doing, this investigator. But yeah, he didn't, he was not murdered. But it was a decent enough movie of that kind. So it wasn't too paranoid, or, you know, it was well done enough to where, you know, I think you at least you'd know a little bit more, because there was stuff in there that I didn't know about the case, because he had all these files that had been locked up until this movie. So there were some things about the case. Some of his friends, you know, thought it was suspicious at the time, which I never knew. So, you know, it's kind of a downer ending of the show, isn't it? You want to hear some more Glenn Campbell? We'll just cry our eyes out as we leave.
Nicely
as we say,
done. This was a comedy show.
As we
right?
say goodbye to you, Heather Kozlikowski. Yeah. We are going to miss you. I am.
I know.
Oh, I know. It's not good.
I know you're going to miss me.
I'm
going to
miss you so much. But it was good having you today. I'm glad you came in and did this. This was fun. Did you have fun?
Yeah, I mean, good. It was a long time coming, huh?
Yeah.
We did the ICP thing.
We
for
did that
three
for
years.
So long, yeah. And you did lots of that, and you came to ICP shows with me and all kinds of stuff, parties.
And that's what I liked about us, is that we were able, you're creative, you know, and we were able to create things.
Remember the thing we did with the Shaggy Two Dope statue?
No.
That was broken, and I fixed it, and we did the prank where there was in the studio where we did this radio show, the Funhouse for Psychopathic Radio. There was a little, it was the Riddle Box statue.
Yes.
And it was this, a fan had made these things. It was the cover of the Riddle Box album brought to life in 3D. It was this concrete sculpture thing that was sort of glued and painted together. But it was like, it was broken, and it was on the console as we were broadcasting one day. And the whole thing fell over, and I guess Shaggy was watching the show, Shaggy Two Dope from ICP. It was very pissed that this thing was broken. So I decided that I would take this thing home, because I'm pretty handy, like you said, and I would fix this statue. So I took the statue home, and I bought paints to touch up the paint, and I bought like epoxy to really hold it together good and re-glued the whole thing. And then I put a coat of varnish on it to make it real shiny and sparkly, and it made it look really nice. And then we came in the studio, and what I had done was, my prank was, I destroyed the Riddle Box. I took it home and I dropped it on the cement in the driveway, and it shattered into pieces. So I made them an Upchuck the Clown statue. Do you remember that? It was a little like mannequin, like an artist mannequin.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And
little
I put
wood
like
one, wood
yeah, a little
one.
Wood thing, posable thing, and I put like a little wig on it and like polka dotted things. And I deliberately made it look like complete shit.
Yeah.
And I offered that up to Shaggy Tude. He wasn't there at the time. Would have been great if he was there. And I offered it up to him as like, this will be the replacement for the Riddle Box and Upchuck the Clown statue that I made. And I left it on studio, and everyone would lost their mind. Remember the guy? I think DJ Fillin was in the studio with us, and he wasn't in on it. So he went crazy.
Pissed.
And people were calling, and I think DJ Clay called in, who was Shaggy's co-host. And he was pissed about, you know, this fucking Riddle Box being broken, and I had this horrible... And I was like, this is great. Look how much time I put into this Upchuck statue. Look how awesome it is. Meanwhile, I was a complete piece of shit, you know? And then we had you. Remember, you left the studio. Like, you're like, I have to go pee Upchuck or something. And you went out, and then you came home with, you came back with the really nice Riddle Box statue. And it was a great prank. Yeah, do you remember that?
Now that you say
it. Yeah, it was several years ago now. It's like 4 years ago now.
Something
but
I didn't store.
Yeah, but that was I thought that was one of our better bits on that show. So it was fun. You were good on there. Miss Terry.
Mystery Miss Terry.
Miss Terry. Heather Kozlikowski. It's all revealed
and
now.
It seemed like all. It seemed like every show we did, it was freezing in nighttime. And then that's back.
We would drive a long way in the cold to go do this radio
show. It's always, 3 o'clock in the morning and freezing.
Yeah, we were on, I think, from like 11 to 1 on that show.
1:30,
we were on, we were getting
super
home.
Cold.
1:30, 2 o'clock. But we had fun with that. We had lots of fans. You had lots of fans. It was a good time.
Yeah,
so we've had some experience doing shows together, but this was good too.
And here's the thing, about me moving and stuff. I was worried when, when my cousin left and when Crystal moved, my good friend Crystal moved. You worry about your relationship deteriorating. But the relationships the friendships that are meant to continue to grow will, mm-hmm. Like with Facebook and with being able to FaceTime and Snapchat and all that stuff, it can be like you're with the person all the time. And my relationships with them have grown.
Okay.
Have grown in Amanda's been gone 10 years. Crystal, I don't know, 3 or 4, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have any doubt in my mind that, and I've fostered so many fantastic relationships, in the comedy scene and then, just with broadcasting and mm-hmm. the work that I've done. I have no doubt that my friendships will get stronger.
Good. I think they will.
I don't, I feel like we'll see. Yeah. I did almost cry at CBS.
You did.
I did almost cry at CBS. I mean, but it's okay. It's okay to be emotional.
Were we looking at the travel pillows or was it the
baby wipes? I don't know. Something brought
something set you off emotionally.
I'm going to miss Joel.
I know. I was polishing your headlights the other day. No pun intended.
Yeah.
I was literally like cleaning your headlight lenses with a kit the other day. And you're like, I'm going to miss you. I'm so sad. I'm like, oh, God, don't cry.
And it's going to happen.
Yeah, it is.
I'm going to, but like I said, I'm not worried. I just got to get out there. I'm not worried. And I'm not worried about my relationships.
Yeah.
Joel, if you and I are meant to be friends, you and I will be friends.
Right. Sure. Absolutely.
If we take care of our relationship, it will be good.
Mm-hmm.
You have to invest the time and the effort and genuinely care about each other. And then there are the people where, like I had this friend who put on my Facebook today. He was like, don't go, Heather. Stay here so I can see you once a year. But even seeing him once a year, like we went to school together at Specs Howard when I was 19, ages ago. And when we see each other, it's, nothing has changed. So mm-hmm.
good.
Things are only bad if you look at it that way.
Mm-hmm. Everything will be good. It's going to be sad. You got another couple of weeks of, emotional stuff and packing up all your stuff. And that's going to be tough. And then you'll go out there and you'll have a great time. You won't have time to worry about the old stuff. You won't have time to worry about me or anything in Detroit. Right?
Man, I don't know. How do I know what's going to happen?
I'm telling you that's what's because I'm telling you that's what's going to happen. And I'm good about this stuff. And I know that's how it's going to be.
I've made decisions in my life, really hard ones. And I've never... when you make a decision... And you know that that's the right decision. You just know.
Right.
Yeah, you just know. There's no, whatever your process is, when you've made a decision, I'll speak in I terms. When I make a decision and I know that it's right, even if it's just right for the time being, and really at the end of it, I'm going to be a basket case, mm-hmm. then I'll make a diamond out of that, mm-hmm. whatever that situation is. And this feels like that. This just feels like... there's no turning back. It's the right thing to do. In no way is this wrong. Is this a bad choice. In every aspect, it is the right choice for me.
Everything's going to be good.
100%.
Everything's going
to
be good.
And if things had worked out the way that I wanted them to in my life, all the little plans that I made that didn't work out, I wouldn't be where I am right. I wouldn't have this opportunity. And this is an opportunity that is not going to come to me again.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not. So I have to do
this. You
got to
do it. You got to do it. All right.
No matter
what. Well, Heather, I want to thank you.
No matter what.
Thanks for doing the show today. I had a lot of fun. talking with you today, getting things out. I like that.
Really?
Yeah. I think. I don't know.
Yeah, it was good. I might have you bleep out one thing. I don't know. There might be one thing.
I don't even know what's bleeped. I don't think anything's getting bleeped. It was a fine show. You said nothing wrong. Everything's good. So.
All right.
I love you. I'm going to miss you.
I love you, too.
And thank you for doing this. And thanks, everybody, for listening. I apologize for taking 4 weeks or however long since the last one this was. But sometimes that happens. But it was fun to be with you today. And we'll see you soon, everybody. Thanks for listening to Joel Radio. Go up to the front page. I'll put some stuff up there. Remember, maybe I'll put a link to those stone dogs. You can watch for themselves. But watch that Glenn Campbell movie. That's real good. Penn and Teller Fool Us is on the CW Monday nights. That's real good. And look for Heather in L.A. She'll be a big star soon. We'll say we had her once on Joel Radio for fleeting 90 minutes.
Has it been 90 minutes?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
It's good, though. Didn't feel like it.
And just FYI, I'm not looking to be a star. I'm looking to be happy and just live my life.
If you're a star, you'll be happy.
The direction the life is going.
Exactly. All right. Thanks, Heather. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll catch you next time on Joel Radio. Good night.